Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Thanks for the kind word, Brad. Elders, thank you so much for inviting me. Don't take these moments lightly. It's so great to be with you tonight. He spoke about some of my rugby days. Some of them were wonderful. Some of them were impactful. I don't know which is the best to describe tonight. We won't get to rugby stories. You're not here to listen to rugby. But maybe a bit of my background. I'm a very conservative Afrikaans boy. Grew up in a very good church that told us all about God, and you grew up in the fear of the Lord. But all that fear didn't help me much till I encountered the reality of God's power through the Holy Spirit. Now, when I encountered his power through the Holy Spirit, I lost half of my friends, which is interesting. And then as we journeyed with God, he started teaching me some of the demonic stuff that's going on, and then I lost most all my friends. And so when it comes to us discovering the power of God, you need to brace yourself. Because God's power is not here to make friends. God's power is here on the establishing of a kingdom that is forcefully advancing. So I want to talk to you out of Mark chapter 16 tonight. I want to talk to you about the restoration of resurrection realities. Now, there's a lot of God's power. Some of God's power is his creative power that you find in Genesis 1. It is God creating by the word. Now we can tap into that. I don't want to talk about that tonight. I don't want to talk about how you can access God's creative power to create things in life or ministry or church. I want to talk tonight about the resurrection power of Christ. Now, if I had to ask you tonight, give me a small definition of the gospel, I reckon we'll get quite a varied response. If I had to ask you, ma'am, what would you say a definition for the gospel is to you tonight? Yes. The grace and goodness of God. Great definition, isn't it? So what about you? What's the definition for the gospel that you would hold out? The power and the truth of the Lord. Wonderful. What is your definition, sir? To love Jesus and make him known. So you can see there's a varied response. Is any of those answers wrong? No. But I do believe with what God is doing inside of you and the crossings over this week is to unlock something of his power restored to the church. And I want to help you tonight so that the power that gets unlocked tonight or through this week will be sustained and increasing. It's no moment, it's no good you look back after 6 months and think, yes, you know, that weekend Kier was here, it was so powerful, I wonder what happened. Maybe we should get him back. And so I want to hope to ground you tonight in this resurrection power, because if you ground it in the gospel, the power of the Lord will sustain and increase over your life. And it should do that over the Crossings Church. So let's read together in Mark chapter 16. It says, When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" There's a real physical challenge for them. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Sounds like the church sometimes, eh? Got this incredible message, but we are so intimidated and afraid to actually tell people about it. Now, what's interesting in my Bible, NIV, there's a little footnote that says that the next couple of verses, the guys are decided whether they should have this in the Bible or not, which I find so fascinating. Because unless you understand that the gospel is about the suffering of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, you haven't had the gospel preached to you yet. And so it's interesting, even in our Bibles, how we, you know, it's, we can talk about the suffering of Jesus. Was he a man? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we can talk about his death. But when you start touching his resurrection, now you're touching the gospel. So let me ask you this. How do you know that God loves you? That grace of God. How do you know that God loves you? He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross. The death, the suffering, the death of Jesus shows you that God loves you. Tonight, God's going to settle the love that he has for you on your life. And that's got to do in the cross. When you understand the cross, you understand that God loves you so much. But when you understand resurrection power, you understand that God is not just a loving God, he's a powerful God. And I believe what God is wanting to restore back to his church again is the resurrection realities of the gospel, not just the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. It says in verse 9, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen them, they did not believe. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Verse 14 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I believe last night, Kier demonstrated what the laying on of hands can do. Verse 19 says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and they confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And so, Holy Spirit, tonight, we don't want to take for granted that you're here. We thank you that we don't have to wait till you come, but we can invite you to come tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask that the word that is preached this evening will cut so deep into our hearts that it will transform us from this moment on. I pray that you will change the atmosphere of the Crossings Church tonight forever. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this privilege that I have to serve your body in this way, which you anoint me afresh to do that well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a couple of realities that we need to look at tonight when it comes to this resurrection power of the Lord. You see, when you understand the gospel, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, there's certain realities that you get confronted with. And when you understand this resurrection power that affects your life, there's certain things that starts to change in how you live. It starts off in verse 4 to 6, where an angel is speaking and rolling a stone away. Now let's just think with our Western mindsets around this thing. Here's an angel coming down from heaven, a spiritual being moving a physical problem out of the way for Mary Magdalene. I don't know about you, but that messes with my conservative Western mind. spirit stuff is not getting moved. Or spiritual things does not move material substance. It messes with your worldview. It's like, no, we just moan about the problem. This thing has got so big, I can't move it. We just sit it in this area. We just got this bad finances. We've just got all these things. You've got all these problems, but when you get resurrection realities, it moves the physical problems through spiritual realities. It says in verse 9 that Jesus came and he drove 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. Whoa. Let's keep church nice and tidy. You're telling me that spiritual beings can move material objects, and now you're telling me that spiritual beings can possess material objects. Yeah, I'm telling you that because the Bible tells me that. I don't know about your worldview, but my worldview says to me the spiritual world is real, the spiritual realm is real, the spiritual realm is powerful, and when stuff gets affected in the spiritual realm, it shows a change in the material. But you see, the church has forgot this truth that Jesus was raised. If you understand the gospel, it grounds you for the supernatural. Often we want the supernatural just to say, oh, we've got the supernatural in our church. Friends, it's not that. If you want the supernatural in your church just to say we have the supernatural, you are opening yourself to get deceived down the line. Because how do you discern deceptive spirits and demonic in the life of the church? When the spirit starts coming down, there's only one way. The Holy Spirit loves to point to the fact that Jesus was raised. Now, when you settle that, you open yourself up to a whole different ballgame. You mean to say, Yannis, that if I pray into the spiritual world and pray into this thing, that God can move physically? That's the power of prayer. That's why prayer meetings are so vital in the life of the church. It's not just getting together and doing this thing because shame, the poor pastor, we just keep his hands up. No. You're causing effects in the spiritual realm that moves natural realities. I read a quote from one of these old revivalists. They said, revival has always come to the church when the church starts to discern the demonic. I want to add to that quote. I believe revival is sustained in the church if you can start to discern the angelic. Am I messing with some minds tonight? I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Verse 9 to 10 says that Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene first. Ladies, please, I need your attention now. Who were the first ministers that preached the resurrection of Jesus? Any ladies that can see that Mary Magdalene was female? You see, when we understand resurrection realities, when we understand the resurrection power, when you get confronted with the resurrection power, the ministries of ladies gets restored to the church. Ma'am, do you know that Jesus wants you to testify about his resurrection? Ma'am, what's stopping you? You don't need the elder's permission to go tell someone that Jesus is alive. I tell you, we've done a great job in the church to halve the size of our army. No, it's only a guy thing. It's only the guy thing. The first woman that preached the resurrection was a girl. Or the first person. Now, I get that you're afraid. I get that you're intimidated. But tonight, we're going to see some stuff move for you so that you're going to be radical from tomorrow morning. You excited about that, ma'am? It's going to be beautiful. Your head is not orange for a reason, without a reason. There's fire on you. It's going to get unlocked on you tonight. My brother's a redhead as well. He operates at 2 degrees above all the other people in our family. They go different. Verse 12 is interesting. It says that Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. Hello, Jesus, what are you doing? I mean, it would have been easy enough if you just, in this body that you were slain, just rose from the dead in that same form, just come to walk so that we could recognize you. Don't you think? Jesus says, no, I need to help you. I come in this form, but as I'm walking with them, I'm the same being, but my form is changing. So he's walking next to these guys, and they're not realizing it's Jesus because he doesn't look like the Jesus they've just encountered in dying. Now, what do you think Jesus was possibly trying to say to them? I believe, number one, that he was trying to help them understand that, listen, guys, get the fact. I am not just an ordinary man. I'm not just Jesus of Nazareth. I'm not just a natural man. You need to understand that I, in this resurrection, is proving myself to be God. He's trying to help the disciples understand that it's not just a man. This man was God himself. He's trying to help them get the revelation that you're dealing with God. You're not dealing with man. You're not dealing in a natural realm. You're dealing in a spiritual realm where God can take on whatever form he wants. Lord, no, I don't like it. I don't like it when it's not inside of my box. Lord, I've got this little box, and as long as you move inside of this box, I'm so happy with you because that's the form I place on you. But beware, oh Lord, if you walk outside of that box. And so we come to meeting after meeting after meeting, trying to get our boxes filled and ticked. The moment it goes outside of it, it's like, oh, no. Yeah, I'm not so comfortable with that. Can I say, those that are the most hungry tonight is going to get touched in a significant way tonight. You're here because you're hungry. Those that's hungry are going to get blessed tonight. Because you're saying, Lord, would you forget about my box? Forget about my little reference. You just move in whichever way you want, Lord, because I'm here to encounter you. It's amazing if you look at the word appear. In verse 12, it says, afterwards, Jesus appeared in different form. The original language says that the word appear is the word phanereo. I'm probably butchering it a little bit because I'm not a Greek and Hebrew scholar. But it's the word phanereo. It means to appear, to make yourself known. It's amazing that in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing about the manifestation gifts. And he says, listen, God wants to make things plain in your midst. He wants to phanerosis. He wants to come show yourself that Jesus is alive. You see, we're not just seeking the presence for the Lord to say, oh, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is to remind you that Jesus defeated death, that he is victorious, and that he is very much alive. Why does he do it? Why does he change form? Because he's messing with our ideas of worship, isn't it? We love to worship form and format. He says, no, I don't want you to worship form. I want you to worship me that I can release power on you. Three quick ones and a slow one. That's us in worship. Let's move on. Then there's going to be a 30-minute preach, and bless your soul if you go over 1 minute. He says, no, it's not about the form. You see, form, there's people in the church, the body of Christ, have got incredible form of godliness, but there's no power of God. Can you be in a place where as a church, you can say, Lord, we will position ourselves not for the form, but whatever you want to do this morning, Holy Spirit, would you please do that? We want to make sure this morning that people know that you're alive. I tell you, don't be afraid about your visitors. Don't worry about them. Let God look after his own name. Don't try and apologize. It's like, oh, sheesh, we're not sure. This is demonic. What are the visitors going to think? When the visitors encounter the resurrection power, they're drawn. When they hear the healing, Well, they start sleeping. When they encounter this resurrection power, they know Jesus is real. For all my life, I heard about Jesus, and I had great concepts of Jesus. The first time I encountered him in his resurrection state, I became a believer. Now, I trust that's a story for each and every one of you. If you haven't encountered Jesus in his resurrection life, you're not a believer yet. You're a churchgoer. It says in verse 14, you're ready for this one. This one is going to sting. Just the front row is smiling. You're right. You ready for this one? It says in verse 14 that later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith. How fast my broek my bus is debang me. When you understand the resurrection power of Christ, what gets restored to your life is authentic relationship. Why do you say that, Giannis? Because it says that they were eating, and while they were fellowshipping over food, Jesus walked in and says, boys, just while we're in this moment of great friendship, let me rebuke you for your unbelief. I love the fact that we can fellowship, and we should. But that's not authentic friendship according to Jesus. Authentic friendship is not just us having incredible ribs together and lamb shanks together and all those wonderful things that we can have in South Africa and a little bit of malfa pudding at the end. That's not authentic friendship. That's just hospitality. But when we can sit together and say, actually, you know what, bro, I need to have a meal with you because I want to just keep you accountable for your lack of faith. Now we're talking authentic. Now you do that in most churches, you half your church in one day. Because we haven't had an understanding of resurrection realities. You see, your life is not about you. Your life is not about how you can be comfortable and what you can consume. Your life is about Jesus and mattering for the kingdom because he defeated death and he's wanting you to advance his kingdom. Yo, the Lord is on that. Have the lamb shanks. Please invite me. But for goodness sake, if there's lack of faith, address that thing. And if their noses get out of joint, bless them on their way. You want to sustain the resurrection power that gets unlocked this week? Tap into authentic relationships. And if only 12 is left at the end of that, you're going to change the world with those 12 people. Verse 15 to 19. Oh, I love this. Verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. What's the good news? Jesus defeated death. He's superior in every way. It says in verse 19 that after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. When you encounter the resurrected Lord, you cannot but help yourself. I remember when the Holy Spirit touched me and my wife, started speaking in tongues and we're like, oh, why did no one ever tell us about this? We wanted to talk to anyone that was willing to stand still for 30 seconds. Man, do you know that God's alive? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is real? Can we just show you? It's like, we just whipped people because they're like, oh, you are so weird. But what gets restored to the church when we understand this resurrection power is the restoration of apostolic preaching. Apostolic preaching is so simple. That's why God uses the foolish, the stupid, the most unlikely people in the apostolic office. Because it's actually very simple. You know what's apostolic preaching? It's a very simple message. Do you know that Jesus is alive? Do you think you can preach that? No, 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 you can't. You need 7 years of seminary to do that. Our churches have become teaching churches. You can go onto YouTube and you can find an incredible amount of information. The problem with teaching is it challenges you intellectually. It's like, ooh, I don't know if I believe with this worldview thing. And you can reason. If you get information and teaching, it invokes you to reason. But when you hear preaching, preaching is not after stimulating your mind. Preaching is going after your heart, saying, listen, you need to radically respond to this or else there's trouble. I'm not here to stimulate you and say, well, that was so intellectual. I'm after your hearts tonight. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit is gripping your hearts and shaking your hearts with all the complacency and all the excuses to get your heart radically to respond to Jesus. Hey, Jonas, maybe just, would you, Lord, teach us on the resurrection? I mean, it's come now, it's far safer. Apostolic preaching is so simple. You simply go to your neighbor, go to your pastor, go to your unsafe friend, go to your boss, go to your mother-in-law and say, "Mother-in-law, do you know there's hope for us? Jesus is alive. Can I show you?" Ooh. That's apostolic preaching. Just go. The message is so simple. Jesus died. He defeated death. Can I prove it to you? You see, we're not convinced that Jesus and his kingdom is superior. But when you understand the resurrection of Jesus, you understand that in that moment of Jesus being raised from the dead, not only does he show himself as a superior king that has now defeated Satan, demons, disease, death, and all the other D's that you can think with. He's showing, listen, in my resurrection, I have a superior kingdom. In my kingdom, there's no injustice. In my kingdom, there's no divisiveness. In my kingdom, there's real power. Now, I've just taken a lot of your excuses away. If you've encountered Jesus, tomorrow morning you can go and tell people, "Do you know that he's alive?" I mean, it's not a lot of theology there. But I tell you what, there's a lot of power behind that statement. It says that in verse 20, that the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. If you want to see the signs, wonders, miracles unlocked in your church, start to emphasize the resurrection life of Jesus and see what will follow. The Holy Spirit is waiting. He's hovering. He's saying, "Please just tell them that Jesus is alive so I can show that that's the truth." You still all right? But this message tonight is going to demand a radical response from you. If it doesn't, then you haven't got resurrection realities yet. You've got something, but it's not the resurrection of Christ. Verse 20 says that the Lord worked with him. And when you understand this resurrection of Jesus, you understand that there's a restoration of resurrection power. I mean, the reason you guys are meeting this week is saying, "Lord, we want to see this power released. Can I give you the hint that's going to unlock all the power? Start preaching about the resurrection of Jesus." Go have a look in the book of Acts. Go read. I mean, we find incredible stories of structure and teams and how they can function together. But you know what their message was? Do you know that Jesus is alive? And everywhere they went, signs, wonders, miracles, demons, all sorts of chaos broke out because the Holy Spirit was waiting for the church to not just teach it, but to demonstrate. It takes the power of the pressure off of you. You just tell them and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. It says that you will drive out demons. Man, there's nothing more beautiful seeing demons flee. My African brothers, they understand the spiritual realm far more than our white faces, our pale faces. Drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. Not when Kia prays for you, not when Yanis lays hands on you, when you simply believe that this resurrection is true. You know why? Because in that moment of encountering resurrection life, you get registered, you get born with a birth certificate in heaven, and now you're a citizen of heaven, and you speak the language from a different place. And every time you speak that language, your citizenship, your identity gets settled. It's like, "No, I don't have tongues, it's for me." It is for you. You'll never really know who you are in God if you don't speak in tongues. You see, tongues unlocks the revelation realm that you can know, that you can access. What's happening in heaven? You'll heal the sick. Man, what a beautiful story. Last two Sundays, we had Christelle's father with us. I don't know what his background is, but Sunday morning, God whacked him. Next Sunday morning, God whacked him again. He was lying and vibrating. It looks like he was plugged into a 220-volt plug. He didn't even have time to say thank you, goodbye. He just sent through his daughter, "Thank you so much for sorting out my life. Pains and disease and all those things have gone. I feel like a new man." It says that you will pick up snakes and drink deadly poison. Now, just to demonstrate that tonight, I've brought a can of doom. Anyone that wants to come and show how much faith you've got. Ah, I tell you, it's crazy what the church get up to. I don't believe it speaks about pulling out a can of doom and showing it off. I believe it speaks about you going out with a simple message. Jesus is alive. People don't like it. They poison your tea. You drink it as if it's the best old grey you've ever had, and you just move on and there's no effect. You don't even realize what happened. A little bit like Paul when he gets to the island and the snake fastens onto his hand and he says, oh, what is this? What's a chokhoz? He throws it off and nothing happens. And the people are like, what is that? That's resurrection life inside of you. It makes you fearless. Nothing can stand in your way. So when you understand this resurrection life, you know what starts to happen? You start getting testimonies of this indestructible life that God has placed inside of you. When we were going there and this thing happened and we just survived. And then we were going here and then this thing happened. It's like we just walked out unscathed. A little bit of bumps, a couple of bruises. Oh, you know, my finances was in a mess. I don't know how I'm going to do it and how it's going to work out. But I've just got this testimony of God providing. Why? Because there's resurrection life inside of you with the wisdom of God available to make change and bring change. It says in verse 11, verse 13 and 14, it says that the disciples did not believe. What gets restored when you understand resurrection realities? There's a restoration of radical repentance. Radical repentance. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he ushered in a kingdom. A government that's like a government this world has never seen. The Holy Spirit is the governor in that government. And when you get born again, he assumes that you will live under the government of the Holy Spirit every morning, every day of your life. And here's the thing about that government. This government of the Holy Spirit is governed by love. Unfortunately, the church has lost his resurrection reality. So they think, I can be born again, but I can still choose which government I want to live under. I can choose to live with hatred. I can choose to live in unforgiveness. I mean, I'm saved by grace, aren't I? You are, bless your soul, you're saved by grace. But unless you understand the fear of the Lord, that you are in a spiritual war, you'll never really submit to the right governance of the Holy Spirit. You think we can get away with a gray. We can live a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. You don't, friend. That's deception. You're either under the government of the Holy Spirit, living under love, living out love, or you're born again and you're under the government of evil spirits. The church don't want to hear this because we want to live in compromise. When you repent, you return to the governance of the Holy Spirit. Saying, Holy Spirit, I just repent. I was walking under the grace of God, so kind and so wonderful and so merciful, but I was walking with my own ambition. I was walking with my own ignorance. And I repent. I turn away from this governance of evil, and I come and I return back under the governance of love. Enough said. You stood? I'd like for all of us to stand. What I want to do is I want to activate you apostolically. You comfortable with that? How am I going to do it? I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. We're going to make sure that you take your position under evil out, and you position yourself this evening under the Holy Spirit. Now, anything is possible when that happens. And I'm not in control, I promise you. But what I'm going to lead you in, if you can believe that from your heart and confess it with your mouth, don't think it. It doesn't help. The enemy does not read your mind. He reads your actions and your words. When you repent, you confess it with your lips, stuff starts to change. You're right. Let's go. I'm going to read and try and make it sensible. You just repeat after me with as much conviction as you can. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead so that I can be free, forgiven, and receive eternal life. I take a hold of your work, Jesus. I renounce religious self-righteousness and any sense of pride that doesn't come from you. I ask you for mercy and grace. I have nothing to boast about. I wholeheartedly repent and confess of the sins that I've done and the things that you've asked me to do that I did not do. I choose to end my sinful lifestyle so I might live a new life in you. Of my own free will, I decide to follow you. I forgive anyone that hurt me and wished me harm. I renounce and let it go. All unforgiveness, all bitterness, all hatred, all resentment. Now can we pause just a little bit here? Let's allow the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance, to bring to your mind, to bring to your thoughts, people, names, faces that you need to specifically forgive. Don't think on them. This is what you do. You say, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. There you are. That's it. There's release, sir. Just choose to forgive. Just choose to forgive. Choose to come back under His governance of love. Those that have hurt you, just call their names. I'm not going to know them in any case, so you're safe. Let's continue. I break arguments. Agreements with the occult and false religions. I renounce every agreement with the occult, including witchcraft, divination, false doctrines, and religions. I commit to destroy items in my home and my office associated with witchcraft. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my curse on the cross so I can receive blessing. I'm redeemed. I'm free. I stand with you against Satan and his demons. I renounce the curses I see operating in my life. Depression, sickness, alcoholism, suicide, premature death. Okay, let's pause because there's some generational stuff that needs to get broken tonight. Things your mum, your dad, your grandfather had, just those things that comes to mind, I want to ask you to bring them into the light and say, Lord, this thing I take authority over tonight. And just call it by name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I receive your blessings. I resist the devil and submit to you. I order every demon that has control over my life, my health, my finances, and my family to leave right now. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I'm free. Wonderful. So where you at? Just receive. Just receive. That's His presence now. Legally, there's no way. That's it. Just start to receive.